Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 828. This episode is brought to you by Audible.com.
You probably don't have time in your busy life, as much as you would prefer, to sit down, crack open a book, feel the pages fresh and stiff between your fingers as you lick your finger and like, whoosh, and then just read the print. And then your brain drifts off and you have to read the last all the pages that you just read over again.
I've been trying to read Game of Thrones, and it's very long.
You know they that's a TV show, right?
Yeah, but I wanted to read it, so I might listen to it. I was thinking I would listen to it. Yeah.
You could listen to Game of Thrones on Audible.com or any of the any books that you want. Audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazines, newspaper publishers put stuff on there. Business information providers. Audible has pretty much any kind of informational thing that you would need. And you have a free 30-day trial membership. If you go to audible.com/nerdist, start your free trial today. Thanks to Audible for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast. Now, we recorded this a little while ago at Comic-Con, which feels like, in one sense, it feels like it just happened yesterday, but actually, it was 2 months ago. Comic-Con was 2 whole months ago, and we didn't put this one out right away just for timing purposes, because the guests are Joel Hodgson and Bruce Campbell. It was our second live, that was the second show we did that night. And it's because we were holding on to it to help promote the return of Ash vs. Evil Dead Sunday, October 2nd at 8 p.m. on Stars, which Lydia and I are very excited about because we watched the shit out of the first season. And I'm super excited to see. I want to see what Ash and the gang are up to in season 2 of Ash vs. Evil
Dead.
You get to
in a couple days.
It's just a couple days from now. But the, you know, the bummer part is that I just get too spoiled with binge watching.
So yeah.
Now it's like, oh, we'll watch it.
And then you have to wait.
And then we have to
wait.
Like a cave person.
I hate that. I don't like waiting.
Who wants to wait?
No one can wait anymore. We're
luxury
all just
problems.
So spoiled.
Luxury problems. I can't wait for the show that I like, man. But Bruce is also going to be on At Midnight.
Oh, awesome.
So he's going to be on At Midnight Wednesday the 28th, which is very likely the day that you're listening to this. If you missed that, go online and find it. At Comedy Central's website or cc.com or use the app or whatever. But yeah, and then the other person was Joel Hodgson to talk about the return of Mystery Science Theater, which doesn't have a premiere date yet, but it's on Netflix. It's going to be on Netflix, and it's being hosted by Nerdist's own Jonah Ray. Now, I say Nerdist's own like we have some sort of ownership owner of him, but we don't really. I just say that affectionately. But Jonah is killing it right now.
Yep.
Between The Meltdown with Jonah and Kumail, and then Mystery Science Theater, and then Hidden America.
Yeah.
Which they're doing more of, and very sadly they're not going to be doing the Wednesday night show anymore.
No.
At Meltdown. I don't know if another show, I have to talk to Caitlin to find out if they're going to do another, they're going to replace it with another stand-up show on Wednesday nights. But yeah, The Meltdown with Jonah Kumail is ending, I think, October 19th.
It's the last day.
It's
going to be really sad,
which is going to be very sad and very emotional. And a lot of people came out of that show and started from that show. That show predates Nerdist.
Yeah.
That show was at Meltdown before Nerdist was at Meltdown, before there was a Nerdist. So it's a big decision, which I am sad about but support, because I feel like it's important for people to evolve.
They're all doing such great things.
And they're all doing such great things. So it sucks to lose the show, but it also, if you care about these guys, you know that it's an opportunity for them to grow.
Yes.
and to do other things and bigger things. So I'm very proud of both of them, and I adore them. And Bruce Campbell, Joel Hodgson, and then Matt and Jonah are on this episode too. This was recorded at the Balboa Theater in San Diego during Comic-Con this year. This episode also brought to you by Stamps.com. Over 600,000 small businesses are already using Stamps.com. What makes you think you're better than them, huh? Why are you better than 600,000 businesses? Yeah, that's what I thought. Get postage right from your desk whenever you need it, 24 hours a day. Make your computer a post office that you don't have to wait in line for. I mean, if you want to stack people up in front of your keyboard, if you want to stack cranky people, like 20 people in front of you before you can get to your keyboard, and they all have a million boxes and they don't want to be there either, you could do that, but I don't know why you would. Just print it out, slap it on there, and you're done. Over $2 billion in postage was printed last year alone using Stamps.com, so stop holding out. Sign up for Stamps.com. Use the promo code Nerdist for a 4-week trial, $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com before you do anything else. Click the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Nerdist. That's Stamps.com. Enter the promo code Nerdist. Here's Nerdist Podcast number 828. San Diego Comic-Con, show number 2 with Joel Hodgson and Bruce Campbell. Groovy Bruce and Groovy Joel. Boy, I didn't even try on that one. Katie, roll the thing as I pick up the pieces of my embarrassment.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Music, rap, pop.
Welcome to the Late Show Nerdist Podcast at San Diego Comic Con 2016.
The Late Show.
The Late Show. It gets a little blue.
We're going to do some carpool karaoke. It's going to be great.
Our signature bits like carpool karaoke.
We've literally done a video where it's us singing in a car. Remember when Matt sang all the lyrics to...
It was Semi-Charm China Live. Yeah.
And went a little something like this.
You know the whole...
Yeah.
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 You still remember it?
I mean, you don't forget something like that.
Okay. Will you just say the lyrics? Because I just want to hear what they sound like if they were just spoken.
The sky was gold. Hang on. I got a guy here. Sky was gold. The sky was gold. I wish I could
somebody once
someplace
told me.
Back there. Turns out I don't.
Do ever what you want to do.
Coming over you.
There you go.
you just needed a little bit.
Yep, that's all I wanted. I'm very excited. We're just going to jump right into the show because our first guest is, he's right there.
Oh, he thumbs ups?
We got a thumbs up. We got the thumbs up. Please welcome Joel Hodgson! Mystery Science Theater's Joel Hodgson.
Yo.
Hello.
Hello. Oh, yeah.
Hey, Joel Hodgson.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thanks, you guys. Great to see you, Matt,
hello.
Jonah.
Joel.
Chris Hardwick. Audience.
I mean, this is almost technically a Mystery Science Theater panel with the two of you guys.
Oh,
on
yeah,
here.
It is. It's getting closer, but we've got a little something
but
for Matt.
I'm sorry.
Coming
guys.
Up in the new year.
Oh.
It's okay with you, Chris.
Sure.
I'd love to. By the way, congratulations on dominating Kickstarter.
Thank
it was
you.
Like insane.
Wow. Thank you.
You have some of my money, you got some of Jonah's money.
I did donate money.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It felt weird.
Jonah got to host because he donated in the circle where you would get to host the show.
Yeah.
That was the reward.
I'm in so much debt, but it's worth it for childhood dreams.
He's kind of torn. Like, I wanted to have a career, and I felt like, oh, I ultimately had to throw money at it to get it to work.
One of one claimed.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
What?
So how has Comic-Con been for you so far?
It's super cool. It's kind of like Jonah and I were just talking about that this is peak Jonah. We're at peak Jonah right now with, like, what? This show.
Hidden America. CISO, available on Amazon
Meltdown
Video.
Mystery Science Theater. He likes to work, I guess.
Yeah.
We have for years thought that wasn't the case.
Yeah, no. This is not the Jonah we started the podcast with.
It is. I keep on telling you, people are just paying me now.
Yeah.
No, I felt like when we first started doing this podcast, Jonah made this show called The Freeloader's Guide for Super Deluxe, and it really was born out of, I think, just kind of like coasting by.
Sure. I was 21, and I didn't like doing much besides doing comedy, and that's when I met Chris, and now he'll never forget it.
Never. And I'll never let you forget it is the important thing. But were you mentally prepared for as much? Because now Mystery Science Theater is, I know people always talk about it with you, but now it is heavily dominating your life again.
Yeah, it is, and it somehow... I think because people liked it, but it was gone. It was over. It was like a nostalgia thing, and now it's alive again. So people are behaving really different now towards me and towards us about making it. So I really like it. It's really different now.
Yeah.
It's people, there's a totally, like I was here 5 years ago, and then there's a completely different vibe now about the way people are treating me and the way people are treating the show.
Did you guys meet when you did the podcast?
Yeah, we met on this show.
Oh, my God. That's crazy. Yeah.
So thank you, Chris.
Here's what happened. Remember what happened? He, like, took a shot at me.
I didn't take a shot at you. I just did an impression of you.
Yeah. He did,
unintentionally.
He did an impression of me. Go ahead. Do you remember what you said at all?
I don't remember exactly, but it was something to the effect of, hey, man, really nice to see you.
Yeah, like, that's him doing me. And that's what I said. I called him on. I go, wait a minute, you're doing me right in front of me? You know, I played that whole thing. And he got really upset. Like, you actually, like, started to kind of crumble inside,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I just collapsed. I didn't mean to. I was just repeating something you had said earlier, and then you called me out on it, and I felt shame.
I know, but I was just trying to be funny, and I'm not that way normally. I was just, like, doing, like, a character, like, this is the hard-ass Joel version you're getting. Like, I was pretending, yeah. And then I thought it was so cute that he was, like, troubled by it.
Oh, yeah.
And that made me fall in love with him.
Well, you know, I mean, listen, Mystery Science Theater is one of those shows that when it first aired, you know, I didn't live in Minneapolis, so I didn't discover it that way, but I discovered it on Comedy Central when it was on once a week. And it's when Will Wheaton and I were roommates. We discovered it together one Friday night at like 10 p.m. or whatever it was on, 10 to 12, I think it was on Friday nights. And it was just like, what the fuck? I mean, it completely changed comedy. And what's so crazy and what I'm kind of curious to find out is when you decided to reboot the show, were you worried that a generation of people will be like, yeah, they're talking during a thing. I've seen this. Like, there were so many things were derivative of what you created, being able to now do it and present it fresh for a new audience.
I guess. I mean, there's no way to measure that, like what all is out there, what is happening. And obviously, 15 years have gone by and all of social media has happened in that time pretty much. And so you can't really measure that. And I think that MST is this different experience because we kind of lay it all out for you. It's not like, you know, I don't know, in social media, it's still like kind of adding comments later.
Right.
And it's like you have to kind of still assemble it in a way. And we still assemble it for you. So it's a different experience. So I just felt like, for some reason, I'm not that concerned about it. I'm just, because it's kind of, it's unique. It's a unique thing. So that's all is more, it's more of a world, I guess. So I don't know.
What were you hoping to, I mean, obviously the Kickstarter blew past not just your expectations, but also I'm sure like every other Kickstarter expectation. What were you just hoping to, like, what did you want to just
well,
barely accomplish?
I honestly was going for 12. Like, it was all, I mean, again, it was probably really naive, but I was like going, I could do, and it was all based on doing live shows, like cinematic Titanic shows. Like, we did 100 live shows in like venues like this size.
Yeah.
So kind of like where you guys travel and do podcasts. It's like in a room this big, might be 1,200 seats, right?
Yeah.
And so I did 100 of those shows. That's 100,000 people. They all paid X amount of dollars, $50 a ticket or $40 a ticket. I just did the math and said, oh, there's enough out there that would pay 60 or 70 bucks for a series and would fund it. That was kind of it. It was like 30. I shook hands with like 30,000 people over the course of like 5 or 6 years, and I thought between 30 and 50,000 people would pay the money to get it to happen. So
how many different strains of colds did you get shaking 30,000 hands?
It makes you stronger. It totally does. It made you, I don't get colds anymore.
I just remember how
I can't take a dump. I haven't had a proper dump in over 4 years.
Yeah. He takes it out on all of
that,
us. Do you want us to set up a shit starter page? See, it's the wordplay. That joke would have killed in England. They love the wordplay. But when this was all starting to percolate, and I even remember like leading up to the announcement of Jonah being the guy, he was really nervous, and I was really nervous for him, obviously knowing that the internet can be a toxic place sometimes, particularly when you change something people are used to. Nerds aren't always amenable to change. And so how do you think you guys were able to... Because from what I've seen, people seem very on board with everything that you've done so far. So how did you kind of make that help happen?
Well, it's a great question, and we had to do a little surgery like the second day, because the first day was really strong. I don't know if it was like I don't know, it was like not $1 million, but it was like 800,000 or I don't remember.
I think it broke $1 million in a day.
Ugh, jeez, what are you guys, Veronica Mars?
Yeah.
No, almost. They're just... I was going to make a callback to a joke from the last show, but these people wouldn't have got
know.
It. Yeah,
they don't know.
Yeah, Matt only has 1 million sperm count, so I was going to make a...
It's true, guys. Okay, so my doctor called me and was like, hey, Matt, we got the results back from your semen analysis. I love that she's signing this.
How do you say?
Hold on.
How do you say semen analysis?
I know what the doctor said, Matt. You actually have.
It's this. That's awesome. Okay.
Well, wait. Keep going.
So that's normal, then this is Matt.
Yeah, but keep going because the doctor says, Matt, I'm sorry, you happen to have Louisiana hammerhead sperm. Yeah, she got it.
So, I can't wait to show this to my fiance. My fiance's learning ASL, so I can't wait to show her what this means. I already taught her this, and I taught her this, which I think is diarrhea.
Cha-cha-cha.
Did you do this? Like?
No. No, I didn't do that.
So I'm very excited about telling this story to those who are differently abled. Here we go. That doctor called me. He said, Matt, we got the results back. You've got your sperm count's about 1 million. And I was like, holy shit, that's awesome. 1 million of anything is great. Then he goes, and just so you know, normal is between 80 and 120 million.
Yeah.
So turns out, it's not my wife's old eggs. It's my dumb sperm.
Yeah. Or lack thereof.
Yeah.
Or lack thereof. So anyway, so that was...
Back to
when you said we got to 1 million in a day, I was going to be like, so did Matt. But now...
Probably
now
2 million
sense.
Sometimes if he's bored.
Okay.
2 million if he's bored. When Dory's in New York.
She's in New York, it's 5-6 million.
Here's what happened, and it was really crazy, because all of a sudden people started to complain, like, where is the original cast? I thought this was going to be a reunion show. I thought this was going to be either Joel or Mike coming back and the original cast. Where's the rest of the original cast? And so we had to go in and do basically kind of explain to them what I thought about it, which was I thought the idea is Mystery Science Theater's already had a complete cast change, you know? It's like, you know, Josh Weinstein was the original Tom Servo. Trace was the original Crow. I was the original host. We all got replaced, and it kept going. So why can't that happen again? And so I was basically saying, it's like Bond. It's like Doctor Who. We can do this again, right? The concept is worthy to do it again. And basically, we turned everybody around. But I thought, they're really worried about this, that it's not going to happen that way, that it's not going to be Trace as Crow or Kevin as Tom Servo, that we're going to put in new people to do it.
But I think having your blessing also was really helpful. And you put so many great people in the show, too. I know Felicia's working on the show as well. And
lots of good writers. And like Dan Harmon's doing it, Justin
Roiland, Patton Oswalt.
Yeah, Ernie Klein from
Ready Player One. Aren't Paul and Storm kicking some?
Yeah, absolutely. They wrote on a bunch of them. So there's a bunch of really good people doing it. So they all kind of signed off on it the second day. But I was like really nervous. Like there looked like there was this kind of backlash. Like, what are you doing? Like, this isn't what we were expecting. Because I think for so long people just wanted us to do it again, but I kind of didn't think that would work, the original people.
And like you felt like you had already done that part of it.
Yeah, and it seemed silly for me to be the host. Like, the people were like behaving like I should do that, and I'm just going, man, I'm like 55 years old. It's like, it's time for somebody else to do it.
Lot of time on the satellite alone.
It really is a long time.
Are you going to be in it at all?
Yeah, I'm doing cameos. I'm going to do some characters and stuff in it, yeah.
Are you ever going to, maybe you don't want to spoil anything, but will you ever be Joel on the show?
I don't know. We're not this first season, uh-huh. but um, But I did announce tonight, number one, we're on Netflix. So
nice.
Netflix is the home, your new home of Mystery Science Theater 3000. And also, I wanted to, tonight we announced that Mary Jo Peel is coming back.
Nice.
To do Pearl Forrester, do cameos as Pearl Forrester. Kevin Murphy's going to come back as Professor Bobo, and Bill Corbett is being Brain Guy, so they're all coming back.
That's
and
great.
They're also writing on it, too, so that was really cool.
Can I pitch you a cameo for you?
Yeah.
I think at some point the Mads tried to genetically recreate Joel just so they could continue fucking with
him.
Right,
right.
And they just came up with this horrible, half-broken copy
yeah.
of Joel. And so yeah. you just sort of walk through the back and your hair is sort of pasted down and all you can say is your name.
Right.
And that's it.
I could
you
do
just
that.
Sort of wander in the background.
I could do
like
that.
You were just, you're a failed experiment of, you know.
I could do that piece. I think so.
I think what's so great about it is the, you were able to essentially recreate the kind of grassroots thing that happens with the original version of the show through Kickstarter and through the internet. Like, it's very organic to how you guys started, but just in a more contemporary way.
Yeah, for some reason, Mystery Science Theater hasn't, like, really been able to, like, kind of flow through normal show business. It's just kind of particular and peculiarly outside of it. And I think that's because the lawyers haven't really figured out how to make money off it yet.
Right.
If you know what I mean.
Right.
And so now they're figuring it out, so it's kind of working out its own way out. But I think that had a lot to do with it. Like, how do we like get our beaks wet on this show? There's no way. It's just an old movie, and it's like it's shot in this warehouse in Minneapolis. I don't get how we make money on that. How do we worm our way into this? So I kind of felt like that kind of inhibited a little bit. But also it kept it completely outside of it. And so the culture of it is really different. Like the way we write Mystery Science Theater is not like any show in Hollywood.
Right.
And so it's just different. It's just because we were outside of it.
I hope people understand how not easy it is to do. I mean, I you guys always made it look easy. Like, oh, they're just making jokes during a movie. But I know the process is very rigorous. I mean, you're going through second by second, basically.
Yeah, it's horrible. I never thought it would be as hard as it is, and that's kind of the sentiment across the board. Everyone's like, oh yeah, this is going to be so easy to just make fun of movies. But then when you just start trudging through, I had no idea that like the concept of the show, which is being tortured by bad movies, is also what you have to go through making the show.
Right.
So it's like you just like 10 minutes a day and you're just like, I'm out. Everything sucks. I hate this. And there's so many times where you just want to make a joke going, oh, come on. And you just can't because you've already done it once.
So you mean horrible from the sense like you just don't feel funny. You just feel like...
These movies can destroy you, Chris. They're real bad.
Yeah, that wasn't a joke. They're terrible movies.
They're so bad. And it's just,
and you have to watch them analytically.
Yeah.
You can't watch them ironically.
The crazy part is, too, is that like it's worse when the movies are almost good. When you're so close, but it's just so bad. And then you start to feel for like one actor in the movie who's a really good actor surrounded by just this dumb story in this fantasy world. But I've always respected everyone that worked on the show so much, and now even that much more so.
Have you guys released any list of some of the movies you guys
No, we're just like keeping it a secret. We just kind of want to create a bubble that we work in and not really talk to people about it.
Yeah, that's funny. When the original movie was Mystery, there was no way to find out what was coming up or when it was. You just kind of had to watch to find out. But you're putting them all out at once on Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I think, too, my theory on it is it's kind of like a haunted house on the edge of town that you haven't been in. And you're going in with some fun friends, and you know, it's going to make you nervous, and they're going to say funny shit and make you pee your pants and stuff. Yeah. You know what I mean, Matt.
I totally did. 100%.
And generate more sperm.
Yeah.
High urine count there, with right? Matt, though.
That's how I gave my sample. I peed into the cup. Right? That's how
Matt's urine has more sperm than his...
That's your problem. It's not that your sperm is low.
God.
It's that your pee is high.
Matt, you should... You should just stop peeing
I was told that that's how you make babies, Chris.
You don't pee into your wife,
Matt. You pee into your wife.
Okay. You could if that's what you guys are into. We respect that.
That's how,
see how that gets signed.
No.
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. We're so humbly sorry. We're so humbly sorry.
So what's next? What part of the process are you guys in, and when is it coming out?
We just finished all the riffs for the 14 episodes. It's about 700 riffs a movie, and that's all taken care of. And now we're just seaming together all the information that's coming from the writers for the sketches, and that gets done in the next 2 weeks. We've signed off on all the designs for the models. They've gone to the model, got people building the models. It's all the deliverables now. It's like the props for the sketches. It's the costumes for the robots. It's the costumes for Jonah and the stuff for Felicia and Patton and all that stuff. So.
And does it feel super familiar at this point? Does it feel like you never stopped?
It's different now. It's the way we make it is different, and just because the technology is so different that we have there's a lot of advantages. Like every day, almost every day I work with Elliot, and he's, you know, we're in different cities, and so we just do it by Skype. And so that's something that a lot of, you know, Jonah's in L.A., I'm on the East Coast. We're all working remotely. There's writers in Chicago, people in L.A., people on the East Coast. So that's kind of it. There's no real... The campus for MST is much smaller than it was when we did it. And so that's what's different. But you can kind of create that same feel by just... I mean, I'm surprised, but it works like you can do it remotely.
Are there some design elements from the bots that are changing...
Yeah, we're like doing a few things. For example, Tom Servo can fly now. He actually can hover. Mm-hmm. And so he's doing that. And we got new legs for Crow. And he's got his hands are slightly different, so he can do more. We're just trying to upgrade him so they can be in more situations and do more things. Like Tom Servo has sections at where his hover skirt meets his money lover's barrel, and there's this section of hose, so he has like hip action. It's like his skirt will move, whereas the thing that started to bug me is he's really pretty much like a fire hydrant, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He has no movement and his arms hardly work, and so the idea is to kind of make him be able to move at the hips, move at the head, so he can just be a little more expressive.
And then animate a CGI Jabba to come across the screen, too.
That's where most of the money went.
Yeah. And we bought that bridge up in upstate New York, which was really stupid.
Yeah.
Right
really
away.
Dumb.
What did you plan on doing with
that? Well, I just thought, I'm going to take it apart... clean it up and make a house out of it. I just thought that would be so cool. And I kind of forgot, like, shit, we need that money for the show.
Yeah.
And then I kind of had to really scramble. I felt really stupid. I had to try to sell it back, and it didn't work out. And then I felt like, oh, I don't know.
Why you started the Kickstarter.
See,
that's the secret. You had the money and bought a bridge and then had to start a Kickstarter.
God, I was this close. I almost was going to have it.
That's the part I left out of the Kickstarter. First off, I got some explaining to do. I had the money. Listen, it was all set.
Can I have it again?
Can I have it again?
But all of these tears come with free passage across my bridge.
Yeah, huh? I'm literally a troll. You have to pass my bridge. I kind of want to know what the legal process. I've never kickstarted anything, so when you get that much money, you know, how are you legally bound to carry out what you say you're going to do?
That's really interesting. I don't exactly understand all of it. We hired Ivan Asquith, who's like the brilliant. Kickstarter guy, crowdfunding guy. He did Veronica Mars. He did Super Troopers. He did Reading Rainbow, all the really big video projects that he was behind. That's part of why we hired him. But he also has a real vision for what this means for empowering the audience and saying, you can, if you really care, you really can make it happen. So he's really unique that way, and so he had a lot to do with it. But it is a big responsibility. Like, the weird thing is they could take their money out at any time. Like, once you run your credit card or do PayPal or whatever it is, you could also remove it at any time. So it's not like that dollar figure is solid. Like, it could all go away if something happened. Like, if someone put forward an idea that said, this is a lie, you shouldn't put your money in the Kickstarter for Mystery Science Theater, and the money could all disappear. They could all just decide we don't want to do it. We remove our funds. Whoa.
There were some incriminating photos that you guys had to cover up for me.
Oh yeah, lots of work. Yeah. We had to do a lot of. But that's kind of the interesting thing. And then the day that it ends, all those assets go into a bank account, and that becomes real. But prior to that, it could all go away if something happened or if someone. Yeah, if there were photos.
which there weren't, of course. I mean, those were all taken away.
It turned out Jonah was Bill Cosby. They'd take
it. Stop it!
Ooh, they traded off right as I said Bill Cosby.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah,
stop saying his name.
Enough.
A few more times and he shows up.
Nope.
He's another kind of candy man.
There are some problems, though. Like, I just went out to eat with him last night, and he said there are some suits in play because a lot of people are getting the money, and they put forward really good Kickstarter campaigns, but they're not doing the fulfillment. They're not getting people the things they ordered. They're not getting the stuff, so people are. It's kind of iffy.
Like that super cool cooler and that drone.
Yeah,
those are the things.
Yeah, right.
That they
like they actually have to make them, and sometimes that's really hard. So it isn't a perfect system yet, but it is amazing. I mean, obviously, it changed the world for me and. With Mystery Science Theater, just coming in, and then having all the meetings we did in Hollywood, it wasn't that thing anymore. Well, geez, you haven't done this show in 15 years. We think it sucks, but we'll give you $50 for it.
Right.
You know, it's like because we had 50,000 people that put up the money, there was evidence that people cared, and they could. You know, we kind of were on a level playing field in those meetings, so it really helped a lot.
And so, is the goal then? You know, the 14 episodes get put up. Obviously, Netflix doesn't. I don't think they really share viewing statistics with anyone.
Yeah, you don't know.
But would they? Does that mean that they would have the option of picking up a second season, or would you have to kickstart again?
No. The idea is, I think that at a certain point that they. Then it becomes like a going concern, and they would like hopefully like it enough to keep going and like that. But if that ends, we would want to maintain the relationship with the fans and hopefully give them a good enough experience so we could do that again.
Yeah.
Hopefully they're into it and like being invested and like what they did.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing, is you got to demonstrate that to them. That's what we're up to.
Cool. Do you mind? I just want to, if it's okay, I just want to get three fan questions for you before we let you go in your half hour time. Do we have three questions? One, I'll take three fan questions for Joel really quickly. And then, yes, you right there in the corner, this young lady. I will get to you. I will find you.
Hi, I heard one of the reasons that went off the air before was hard to get these really bad movies. They started to be expensive. Are you just going back through that and picking them out, or is somebody actually going, oh, that's a really good idea. I want to be on your show. That's
interesting.
That's a great question. I don't think that's why the show ended, that there was a lack of bad movies. I honestly don't think
Just look
that's...
through past Comic-Cons. Yeah. You know, Superman versus Batman.
I don't think...
No. Haven't seen it yet.
Still haven't seen it.
Still haven't seen it.
Go ahead. What's your name?
My name's Derek. I was saying, since you're going to kind of say, hey, it's like 007 or Doctor Who, is it going to be a regeneration type process?
Do you already want me off the show?
Yeah. Could you get off it?
No, he's wondering if like Mike will have to be regenerated into Jonah. That's your question, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Is there a regeneration, or just sort of picks up?
Who is the guy that would make sense that was regenerated out of Mike and I? You just pitched a guy today that I thought was
Eccleston.
Yeah.
Chris Eccleston.
Think about it. Chris Eccleston is like the hybrid between me and Mike.
Oh, whoa, he is.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
Oh, he'd do it.
Yeah.
Is there an origin story? Did you shoot anything like that?
a Jonah origin story.
That'll be addressed in the opening, I think.
TBD, yeah. Chris.
Yeah. We do tell it.
Did you change the theme song? I think it's the same jingle.
It's the same song that we're doing. The Charlie Erickson, the guy that I wrote the song with, is doing a new arrangement.
Cool.
So, yeah, we're going to do that. And the love theme at the end is a new arrangement. But, you know, it's the same song.
Well, in the not too distant future.
Here you go.
We can get Fall Out Boy to do it.
You're laughing so hard at that.
Just the way you said that. We'll get Fallout Boy to do it. What's your question?
I was just curious, how do you pick the movies? Like, where do you find them?
The movies, the thing is, you know, people's TVs are so much nicer now than 15 years ago. They're flatter and bigger and wider. And so...
it's like me.
It's your sperm.
The signing of that was amazing. He just did this. That was really funny.
So the idea is that we're getting better looking movies. We're getting widescreen movies that sound better. And the print is better. There's not a lot of noise and stuff like that. And there's granted, they're still shitty movies. You know what I mean? They just look better. So that's kind of where we start. But it's really the environment of the film that I'm looking for. It's kind of like I was saying, Mystery Science Theater is like a haunted house that you go in with some of your funny friends. And so the idea is that it should be if you've already been in the haunted house, it's not haunted anymore. So the idea is to find movies that are forgotten or that you've never seen. And so there is no real...
But how do you go through that process? Like, you can't walk up to a red box of shitty movies and go, wow, this one.
Yeah, just walk up to a red box.
You have to go to the shitty movie alley in the bad part of town. And there's a guy named Cheech that you talk to. He's got all the shitty movies.
Yeah, they line his trench coat.
Yeah. But I think you start in different places. Like, there's just vendors that are out there that have those, that fit that profile for those type of movies. And there's a dollar figure, too, that you have to play with as far as licensing the movie. I mean, we don't take all the rights for a movie. We have the derivative rights. So when we cut a specific deal that says, hey, if you have this Hercules movie, we're not going to tie up all the rights. You can still license it to cable or whatever, Stars or wherever you're going to show it, but we just want to make a Mystery Science Theater out of it. So it's not quite as expensive for us.
Do any of you have a question? Do you want to see if any of the have a question?
I mean, what I need is
Is there any movies that are maybe more chosen from America or from international movies?
Okay. Is that the guy signing?
Yeah.
Asked that question?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
For something.
It was direct. What is her name?
Sarah.
Yeah, it was from. He was translating.
Oh, he's translating for Sarah. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah, he didn't just stop doing his job to ask a question.
Yeah. I thought we could do that here. I thought it was an open concept show, and there are no rules, man. Yeah. The guy signing can ask. But yeah, I actually misunderstood.
Yeah.
And I wasn't listening because it was blowing my mind. What's the question again?
American films versus international films.
Oh, yeah. Well, a lot of movies that fit this profile are made all over the world and then often dubbed, you know, so they're made into, like, English-speaking films. Like, a lot of them were made in Italy and...
a lot of Dino De Laurentiis' movies.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's just all over the world, and so, you know, you just get them, but a certain amount of them are definitely dubbed. I'm trying to think how many in the... of the 14 we're doing, maybe
about half maybe are dubbed, right?
Yeah, maybe that's part of it.
Turns
definitely.
Out, every country tried to make a bad monster movie at one point in their history.
Excellent. Thank you for your question. Thank you.
I think one more. This guy in the corner, because I promised I would come over
this
here.
This guy in the yes. corner.
I'm Brant. I love the show. I've got a question, though, about people who were in the films as actors or the directors. Have you ever run into any of them that you've mercilessly mocked? And I'm curious if you have any stories about that, or were you so insignificant in the entertainment industry you just flew under the radar the whole time?
Well, that was a good question. Yeah. What a great way to...
Not insignificant enough for Joe Don Baker.
Hey, that's the truth, man. Joe Don Baker, it's kind of interesting story. Like, we did Mitchell, you know, and Mitchell, like, you know, for some reason, we did a lot of, like, profiling of what his personality may be in real life about, you know, what's really going on with Joe Don Baker. And it turned out to be really funny. I mean, it just was one of those things. It's one of my favorite episodes. And there was this ongoing rumor that Joe Don Baker was, like, upset with us, that what we had done. And I hadn't really heard anything legitimate that substantiated that until this guy who makes all our documentaries, a guy named Daniel Griffith. Did you meet Daniel?
Yeah.
Yeah, in Minneapolis. And Daniel Griffith's this super sweet guy, and he arranged to meet Joe Don Baker and, like, talk to him. And he said, is it, you know, is there anything to the rumor that you're really upset with the Mystery Science Theater guys? And he goes, okay, I'll tell you what happened. They didn't make fun of Mitchell. They made fun of Joe Don Baker. They used my name. They used my name. Like, somehow that crossed the line. Like, and he was really mad. I guess he's still really mad about it. But there was evidence that he did that. Other times, like Cave Dwellers, Miles O'Keefe, the Ator in that movie, he saw it and he called us and he goes, he's super sweet and he goes, you guys, I got to tell you, I've been waiting for something like this to happen to that movie. And he invited, we were kind of intimidated because he was like a celebrity to us. He goes, you guys got to come out and hang out with me, man. It'd be really fun. And we were like kind of freaked out by that. Like, that was, we weren't intending to ever do that, but he really thought it was funny and liked it. So actors are really different. I think they totally understand that it's like 6 days of their lives and they don't really have the same attachment than maybe the guy who made the movie, you know, the person, the actual filmmaker.
Right.
They take it a little more personally, I think.
But initially, the first run, the movies were so old
yeah.
that the likelihood was that a lot of those people were either not alive anymore, or they were really old and they probably weren't going to hear about it.
Or they couldn't hear about
yeah. it. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I'm very excited for you and Mystery Science Theater. As a Mystery Science Theater fan, I cannot wait for when are they going to be released?
I can't say just yet. We just made the announcement, so I don't know
exactly. Let's make a date. Then they'll have to do it.
It's really good. It's a good way to pressure your new partners right off the bat the day you announce Joel Hodgson on a podcast announces the delivery date for Mystery Now.
In other news, Joe Don Baker buys Netflix. MST's out.
Use my name.
But I want
to... Use my name.
But I would love everyone...
Use my name. LLC has purchased Netflix.
I would love everyone to give a huge hand for giving us so much
Thank
time.
You.
Joel Hodgson.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, man. Great to see you.
Can we all get into a picture? Sure. Oh, no! No! I hit the wrong button. Oh, this is the worst. I'm a horrible...
All right,
cool. Thank you
all
very
right,
much.
All right, see you guys.
Thank you.
Good night.
Joel Hodgson!
Now, Jonah, you get to make fun of stuff because you're insignificant enough to... I don't think he meant it that way.
No, he didn't.
I love it. It was good fun.
He's good. Joel Hodgson is just the... One of my first... joys in the entertainment business was work. The first show I ever did for MTV before Singled Out was another show that had props on it, and Joel was the guy that built the props. And it fucking, I could not, this was 1994, so MST was still like hot off the presses, and it, and he's just always been such a sweet, nice, wonderful dude.
Yeah, no, he's awesome. It's crazy that I'm working with him.
Oh, I like
See, I can't be funny about it. I just start to think about it and then I start to cry. So,
aww. Cry.
All right. You asked for it. Wham.
Well, I'm very excited to announce our next guest who has just arrived. He is a wonderful specimen of a man who has an incredible show called Ash vs. Evil Dead. Please welcome Bruce Campbell!
Gentlemen? Hello. Is this the spot?
This is you.
Very good. Hello. Is this one of these grand old theaters?
This is a grand old theater.
From 1947.
Yeah. This is the old Balboa Theater.
Is that a guess? Did you just guess that?
Is it really from 1947?
No, okay, so you did.
No, but that would be old for San Diego.
Yeah, that is. It's not a new. It's
well,
not
they
a new
have
place.
Missions that date to the 1700s, guys.
Yeah, if you like that sort of crap.
Right out of the gate.
That was my wife today. Well, I'm going to the mission. To do what? I love
start,
history.
Start the mission.
I love all the history. She's on a mission to see all the missions.
And did she accomplish
She's
that?
She's going to have a ball with that.
Did she accomplish that? She went to see the mission?
I hope so.
Yeah. Did she not come back? What happened?
It's a bit of a long story, unfortunately. Many things happen here at Comic-Con. The Super Bowl of conventions.
Yes. Yeah. It was fun watching you try to figure out how to refer to it. Let's call it a convention.
Yeah. It's off the hook. That's what I call it.
Yeah. How's it been?
Where's the sky bridge? We need the sky bridge to get over the railroad tracks.
Oh, yeah.
Otherwise, San Diego, we ain't coming back.
Well, that's right. You heard it. Or at least a habit trail of some sort or a tunnel underground or something.
Do something so the migration can go somewhere because it stacks up right there.
Yeah, because you got the car and you got the train.
Yeah, so something's got to give or something's got to go.
Yeah.
Hello, Vegas.
Oh, no.
Oh, don't say that. That would be fucking awesome. I would love to do that. Let's do it.
No.
Oh, shut up. You go to Vegas, and then finally you go, oh, my God, I can get a hotel room. Come on.
Wait a second. There's 6,000 hotel rooms in this one hotel?
Yeah.
Hello, Las Vegas.
Yeah, and I can gamble and whore my way in between all the panels.
Your wife's going to the Hoover Dam.
Great idea. I'm going to go see all the Hoover Dams in the country.
Your wife is Mama from Mama's Family. That was that voice. That was that
voice. You haven't met my wife. That's after one cup of coffee. She gets cut off. Because otherwise she gets on a little broom and flies around.
All the way around.
And gets very observant. What are you doing? I'm just doing some stuff over here. Looking at my iPad. Why? What's on it? Stop drinking coffee, babe. Oh, it's the mission calling.
How many days? Did you just get to Comic-Con today? Is today your first day?
No, I came in to tape a Conan O'Brien episode on Thursday.
Nice. Congratulations on Ash vs. Evil Dead. We watched every episode. It's fantastic.
We're currently lobbying for something that's very unrealistic.
What?
But that's how you go. You dream big and get little.
What are you lobbying for?
I want seasons 3 and 4 out of Stars. We already got 2. They're already getting pregnant, it's a son of a bitch. Season 3 and 4, they're going to be so... They put out so much money, they can't possibly cancel this thing.
That's
the idea. You get them really fat, these networks. And they go, oh, my God, we spent so much money. We're going to eat all this if we cancel this piece of shit. And then they go, we got to take it full term. Full term is one of the meetings. It's a term along board meetings. Jenkins, full term. Stoddard, full term. And they go around the horn.
Jenkins and Stoddard sound very similar.
These guys are cookie cutter executives. There's not a lot of original thought going on here. That's my feeling anyway. Never been in a board meeting. That's why I think they call them board.
Yeah, that's a board meeting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I wanted to present something that I was very excited about to bring. My
cake shaped like a mission for my wife.
That's right. It's a mission cake. It's a copy of Robert De Niro's The Mission on VHS.
Well, it took him a long time to grow that beard, though,
so
I will
long.
Say.
It's much too big. It's a Betamax in there.
I know. Okay, so I'm getting married in a month. 1 month. My fiance is at her bachelorette weekend. And so this was such an amazing story. I wanted to share it here on the podcast. And I wanted you to be, I don't know why I wanted you to be here for it, Bruce, but I just thought it would be fun to have you here for it. So her friends, she said to her friends, there were like 20 ladies going out for this bachelorette weekend. And they said, and she goes, look, don't get any dick shaped anything. No dick straws, no dick hats, please. Let's not do that. And they were like, oh, you got to do something. And she's like, fine, I will order some penis cookies, okay? But just let me do it, don't you do it. I'll just control this. So she went on this site and found these penis cookies. She ordered 20 of them. She was like, they're really expensive, but I ordered 20, so whatever, it's fine. It's, you know, for bachelorette weekend. When they arrived, she realized the cookies were, in fact, sold by the dozen. She ordered 20 dozen. There were 240 dick cookies at our house, and because she ordered so many, I assume the company's like, well, let's just take the rest of the year off. They threw in more, so we had 260 dick cookies in our house. So I thought I had to bring some here. Very graphic. So I wanted to present.
Don't ever include me in any further dick stories.
Hey, Chris, you mind if I get another one? I can take two.
At the same time, DP Jonah, that's what we call him. Here's a cookie for you.
I'm just going to eat the tip of this one. Because it's pink like a dog's penis.
It is. So there you go.
It's from the Twig and Berry.
Yeah, it's called the Twig and Berry. The Twig and Berry, naughty but delicious homemade.
I'm a little concerned about the venereal disease going on down here.
No. Those are just.
Is that pubeness?
They're just finely groomed pubes.
And why didn't they go for the Twig and Berries?
I've never met these people. All I know is that we just sent them a lot of money for hundreds of dick cookies.
Dick cookies.
Jonah?
Dick cookies. Dick cookies.
Put one in your mouth, Jonah.
That worked perfect for radio.
God, I wish we were radio.
They got one word wrong, and that was delicious.
No good?
It's weird when a cookie's salty.
I'm from Oregon, and they had that wildlife refuge that was taken over.
Yeah.
Somebody sent them a box of dildos.
I remember that.
Like 1,000 dildos to these guys. And I wonder if there was like an honest discussion among them. Did you send for these dildos, Joe?
I didn't send for no damn dildos. Hang on.
That came from Hillary. Maybe Hillary sent those dildos to us.
Well, you know, they could have a use.
I just got an iPad. I don't know what I'm clicking.
Let's go shoot them up.
So what do you have left to do at the convention?
You?
No. Oh. We have the cookies for it.
Ah, nice. Yeah, this is it. This caps the end of a redonkulous weekend of shameless self-promotion and smells of all kinds. Of all kinds.
What was your initial response to the... Because I feel like Ash vs. Evil Dead, the reception was pretty amazing.
It was good. Thank you. Yeah, it was good. It was the first time in the history of the series of movies that no one could make fun of it anymore.
Right.
Because that was the funny thing. Ha ha. These clever reviewers. Oh, Sam Raimi took all of his low-budget ideas and put them into a low-budget blender.
Right.
They love doing that. And, oh, you can see the green garden hose. Oh, isn't that quaint? Well, shut the fuck up. We don't see it anymore. There's no garden hoses. It's good lighting. The acting is better. There's the writing's okay. You know, I mean, it's still Ash, so there's really going to be no character development. But once you get past that, it's fine. But, yeah, we were accepted by the critics as well because they love to... The fans have been really good because they can be rather dickish if they're not satisfied.
Right.
They can go, well, nice try. They did that with the remake.
Yeah.
We took $97 million of their dollars. And they go, eh. But then I go, eh, we got your money. You know, we did try. I love people go, Bruce, what'd you think of the remake? I was one of the producers. I thought it was pretty good. Like as though someone would just call me and alert me that they were going to do a remake. Hey, did you know they did a remake?
I don't know.
Oh, my God. What?
Yeah, I don't know if you heard. They did a remake.
How is it?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah.
We're involved in these movies. We own them, so we have to know what's happening.
So did that was Ash vs. Evil Dead then sort of like taking it back? Was that what that felt like for you guys?
Yeah, that was like, okay, you want to watch the geezer do his stuff? Let's go. Come on. Because here's what really happened to us. It's Sam Raimi goes and makes Spider-Man movies, and they're $1 billion in revenue. And people go, that's nice. When's the next Evil Dead movie? I'm on bird notice for 7 years. Number one show on cable. Yeah, sure. No, thanks for faking it. You don't really care. When's the next Evil Dead movie? So it doesn't matter what we do. So we thought... we better just stop trying to achieve anything else in life and just give them what they want, what they demanded. That's fine. I got it now. We got it. And you're just going to get Ash till the wheels fall off now.
Yep. What do you think has changed about Ash now? What's different about Ash older?
Older is the word.
Because I love that it really embraced, that kind of really embraced that.
Yeah, we went
that.
For it. We went for it. He's wearing man girdles, and he's got dentures that pop out occasionally. Ash has dentures that pop out occasionally. Ash wears a man girdle. So we had, and I'm okay with that. We were, at one point, there was a glimpse of a box of Depends in the trunk of his car. And then we thought sometimes they might be driving down the road, and Ash goes, pull over. Why? What do you need? I got to go in and get something. What are you going to get? Why do you have to know? What does it matter? He comes out, throws it in the trunk, and away they go. It's like when you watch those Depends commercials, like June Allison did Depends commercials, the actress.
Yeah. It tells you a lot about
it. No, her. June, do you wear them?
Yeah.
Do you?
No, of course not. I don't shit my pants.
Yes, you do, June.
No, I'm not doing it right now.
No, you've left the door open for me to go.
Oh, the door's open.
Yeah. Lisa Rinna, she wears the... she advertised Depends, too. She's too young for Depends.
Yeah, there you go. That was the joke.
No, it wasn't.
Okay.
Obviously.
I just found it a little weird that if you're an actor who doesn't have that affliction, why would you want to permanently confuse your friends and family for the rest of their life?
Maybe they do have that affliction. Or maybe...
and want to what? Make money off their affliction?
You might as well. Don't you think?
I can't control my crap, so man, let's go to the bank with this.
Yes! You get something out of it. It is uncontrollable. I've had conversations with it. I cannot control it. Yeah, I don't know why people become actors kind of feel like crossing that line, but it must be enough money that they're like, man, I don't give a shit.
Very nice.
I didn't mean it that way, but...
Well, actors do ads in other countries that they won't do here.
Do you do commercials? Do you have any commercials?
Oh, they're all over. No, I did Old Spice. It's about the last commercial I've did in a long time. I had a great experience. I did one of them. And then they go, well, let's do another one. Hey, Bruce, can you sing or play the piano? I said, no. They went, perfect. So I sang Hungry Like the Wolf as a lounge singer. And I made more money in one day doing something that I can't do. than anything else I've ever done. And then they made 4,000 other Old Spice commercials with guys with large muscles and towels around their muscly butts.
Muscly butts.
Yeah.
When you guys, have you already shot, are you working on the second season now? Or
we crawled away from the wreckage of season two.
Nice.
Torn hamstring intact.
I ripped a
new hammy this year.
Ah.
Yeah. Yeah.
How many stunts
do you... Has anyone here torn a hamstring? It sucks. You're hamstrung. You can't walk. And, of course, the last 2 weeks is fighting. Fighting monsters.
How many stunts do you personally try to do?
I did more this year, which was a horrible mistake.
Yeah.
Normally, I leave it to my very qualified stuntman, Raisho Vizilev. Mm-hmm. He's Bulgarian.
Yeah.
And he absorbs quite a lot of the brutality.
Just like depends.
I wonder if Raisho wears depends in all the struggles that he has fighting.
I don't know.
Straining against harnesses.
With his muscly butt.
That's how he's able to keep it in. That's how he's able to keep it in. So when is season two coming?
It airs in October. October, because they won't let me say anything.
Yeah, let's say, yeah, but no. We'll be in October.
Which is silly, because it's going to be October pretty soon, and people should know.
Yeah.
Nah, so, let them figure it out.
Yeah.
It'll be a surprise.
Yeah.
Oh, season two's over?
Yeah, so it's season two, and then obviously then you have the season two jitters of a sort.
Which are? What do you mean?
Well, now there's expectation.
Yeah.
Season one, people are like, all right, let's see this piece of crap. What do you got?
Yeah.
And they were like, hey, that wasn't a total piece of crap. What do you got for season two? Because
mm-hmm.
there's always, do you do more? Do you do more blood, more carnage, more mayhem? What do you want? What do people want more?
I don't know. I guess just kind of exploring the relationships and seeing how everyone evolves and seeing how everyone...
That's how you would do it. That would be good. That'd be good. We just kind of throw blood at everybody. And, yeah. That might take some thinking, I know, on that part. Although then you get into the... if you go to season three and four, like we're demanding for no real good reason, you have to get into what is the story of the show.
Right. Yeah,
what
that
is
point.
The Babylon 5, you know, what's the overarching story? Because that stupid show, didn't they... The guy... All aliens have two eyes, a mouth, a nose, and ears. Boy, that sure works for me.
That's Matt...
Oh, no, we gave him a big protruding brow. Did you? That guy has four lumps. And we've taped his ears back. Guys, you nailed it. Wow. All right.
Isn't there an explanation in the universe about why so many creatures have the same basic physical structure?
Well, and even though they lower their voices, they still speak in English.
In Star Trek The Next Generation, there is. There's an advanced species that went extinct 4 billion years ago. And in... Well, as they were going
well, this
extinct,
already sounds like Scientology.
Well, as they were going extinct, what they did was they went to solar systems that would have an Earth-like planet. And
Scientology?
They dropped some genetic material.
From B-52 bombers.
They dropped their genetic material into the primordial ooze of all these planets, which is how you got Klingons, Romulans, humans, and Vulcans. And
did some guy shout from the balcony, "Nobody cares"?
If nobody cared, we wouldn't be listening to him talk about it.
You're at Comic-Con. What did you think was going to...
This is... The episode is called Clues. It's season six. Watch it. It's a great episode. It just really... Everybody puts their differences aside and goes, oh, you wear Depends?
You know, you can take Comic-Con out of San Diego, but you can't take the San Diego out of Comic-Con sometimes, you guys.
See you on the beach, bro.
See you at Dick's Last Resort.
Talk about them dick cookies! I think one of the reasons why I know one of the many reasons why I know I love the show is because when it ends, I feel like I really wanted that to be an hour as opposed to a half hour.
But you didn't. Because if it was an hour, you'd go, oh my God, this is so slow.
It moves. The show...
Just kill somebody. Kill somebody. I can't listen to any more of this goddamn boring dialogue anymore.
Oh, God. How long is Glenn going to be in that dumpster?
You son of a bitch. How dare you?
So we're kind of hoping by the time you first look at your watch, the end credits roll, and you go, oh, Oh, we should watch it again.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're hoping. It is the old adage. You got to leave them wanting more, because otherwise, if it was an hour, it would be a slow, boring, and not funny. Like some other shows that are an hour?
Interesting.
What could
Star Trek The Next Generation?
Anyway, that was Rob Tappert, the producer's genius idea to make it half an hour. And I feel in this attention span challenged world, it might not have been a bad idea.
Yeah. Because then you also, you could watch the whole season again in just half a day.
Yes. The ability to binge has been cut in half.
Do you...
or enhanced by half. I don't know. One of the two. But it's a lot easier to binge our show than other hour-long shows.
Is it 10 episodes?
10.
10 episodes coming back in the fall.
That's 5 hours, Chris.
Yeah, I know. I know, man.
And you know...
Nobody cares!
I just
yeah, I just love the picture of that guy afterwards calling his friend, yeah, so there they were, and I says, you know, like, fucking...
I didn't even hear it. I just thought I was at home.
Aww.
It's fine, guys. Should... My wife doesn't say that.
Your parents do.
Oh, yeah.
So what is your favorite, what's been your favorite part about bringing it back?
Taking those hot showers at the end of the night. Getting that crap off.
Yeah?
Yeah. Because it's a disease. It gets everywhere. It just spreads. You get one little piece, you get it all off, and you go, yep, got it all off. And then the dick is sticking to your hand. And then you go... Get off my hand, Dick. And then it's on the other hand. And now that, you go, I need some water to get the dick off my hand, and now the water's stuck to your hand. And where do you go from here?
And your wife can't help. She's at the mission.
She's at the mission. What is she going to do?
Missionary.
So you walk right into the shower with your hand on your dick and your dick on your hand. And you take a shower. And it all goes away. And because it's a trailer... they only have about a gallon of water, of hot water. So it's a fast shower, but it feels good for the first 30 seconds. Because they've really piled on the blood.
Yeah.
They don't care about our well-being anymore. It was very fun, I have to say, to initiate Lee Majors, who plays my dad,
mm-hmm.
in this season, which we felt was very appropriate casting.
Yeah.
To cast a man whose reputation was... You know, something of a ladies' man in his yeah. day.
Yeah.
He's a very married man, very long-time married man now, but he was a player. He was a bit of a tabloid boy, too.
In the 70s, day. Tabloids? Steve Austin?
And Farrah?
And, oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, come on. You forgot the F portion of his
yeah,
life.
Yeah, that's right. He was Farrah Fawcett.
It was 10 years of, like, tabloidation. It was great.
That's
they
right.
were the great golden television couple.
That's right.
So we covered him with blood. Thanks for all your accomplishment, Lee. You've worked on 3 television shows that have each gone more than 100 episodes.
Did he understand the concept? Like, did he understand?
Well, we approached him to play my character, and he goes, well, let me just take a look at one of these episodes and see. He's a very plain-smoking man, Lee, yeah. Lee Majors. And I thought, okay. All right, that's pretty funny. And so, what's the word? Binge watched. I watched them all. And I thought, okay, let's be part of that. Because he thought it was funny. And I'm okay with that, because we didn't think he would think it was funny. Too much damn blood. There's just too much blood, son.
Yep.
But there was more humor than blood, so he was okay with that. So we got him, and we covered him with blood. And it's always fun to see someone... who doesn't usually get covered in blood, to see him covered in blood. Because they have a look on their face that really is, it's true startle. And when you get them the first time with the viscera cannon, it's just, there's no acting required. These guys, they take us around the corner of the studio and they have a little etching of a person. And that's where they test the blaster. Because they go, oh yeah, Bruce, you're going to do this viscera cannon now? We shoot in Auckland, New Zealand, and the crew members all talk exactly like that. So we go around the corner, and he goes, oh, yeah, we've got a number 2 valve, quarter tight dispersal, sort of maximum impact. And you go, pow! And it's like this little dot that like puts a dent in the wall. You go, let's open that up a little bit. I like my eyes. I'm sorry. I'm old fashioned. Well, let's try number four, number five valve. So they'll swap the valve out, and then they'll hit that. And if the spread is a little bigger, you go, all right, let's go with that. So you determine what viscera it is and then what valve it is, and then you can do it.
And what'd you hit Lee Majors with?
I think he got about a 2 or 3. It was pretty good.
Did we get the shot? Oh, there wasn't a shot. We just wanted to welcome you to the production.
But I remember seeing him. He was sitting in his trailer, and I walked past. And he was usually a pretty jovial guy. He'd always give you one of these, you know, as you walk past. And I walked past. He was covered in blood, sitting in his chair with a dead 1,000-yard bionic stare. And I thought, I'm just going to keep going. Because he might not be too happy about that.
Called his wife, what the hell did I get into?
Yeah, damn it.
God damn it.
It ain't that funny. It ain't funny anymore. It ain't funny anymore. But he took it rather well. And some actors kind of like the cathartic experience of experiencing a near-death experience without dying.
Yeah.
It's why we act, to become closer to death, which makes us feel closer to life.
That was beautifully said and very.
Yeah, it's a crock of shit though at the same time. but every actor does react differently to being put into a situation of torment. Some actors have had traumatic experiences in their past, and in the middle of a scene can actually freak out, and the camera goes, "Wow, you did something." And that's when you go to the camera. You don't really know that person, camera. But it sees what it wants to see. It sees inside their crazy soul.
I think all performers have it, though. All people who... Because it's a weird thing to do. It's a weird thing to want attention from strangers and to pretend for a living. Don't you think everyone has that?
Yes, it's a weird thing telling your body that your best friend has died. I think it's unhealthy to be an actor in a way because... You're convincing your brain that your best friend has died in order to get the visceral response that your best friend has died.
Yeah.
And your body doesn't know that. So your body forces you to convulse and heave and cry and get all snotty and runny in the nose. And your brain is all messed up for the day.
Yeah.
And then go home and take Fido for a walk.
Well, after you
Why do you think there's so many difficult relationships with actors?
You have to unstick your dick first before you go home and take Fido for a walk.
That's pretty much it. Walk into the shower, get your quick shower, and you'll be just fine.
I wanted to be able to take a few questions from the audience, and if you want, I'll give you a dick cookie. If you don't have to take it.
Yeah.
You don't have to take that dick cookie.
You don't have to, but if you want it, I'm going to offer it to you so you can have some of the... Hearst Bachelorette dick cookies.
These also look very like crumbly dick cookies, not chewy dick cookies.
No,
They are. I would 100%
crumbly.
Agree.
I'm going through a thing, man.
But they're not as good as Chewbacca dick cookies.
Yeah.
So is this equipment section or specifically for Bruce?
Well, you can do whatever you want.
Well, then two part. One, do you think, Bruce, do you think you walk home or go home with Ash nowadays? Like, is he still kind of resonating in your head when you go home?
You're funny. No. No, I don't. And it's nothing against Ash. I don't do it to anybody. I heard Sigourney Weaver in an interview once after doing Ghostbusters 2. They go, what was that like? You were playing a possessed person. She goes, I really scared myself. I'm like, she's lying. Sigourney, you're a fine actress. You're lying.
What was your equipment?
No, you're lying. No one convinces themselves like that. Sorry, sir. I hope I answered that.
No problem. Yeah, I was listening the whole time.
You're eating a dick cookie. What do you care?
He brought his own!
I was thinking of the majesty that Chris...
Here's my dick cookie.
Yeah. Yeah, what was your equipment? No, I'm not taking it away. I thought you wanted to get a picture with it. Here, take a picture with it.
And then the second one's for Matt and Jonah... There we go. But it'll be worth it. Call back to last year. Is there a Cinemax release for Boston Batman?
Boston Batman. Boston he made Batman. A return earlier at the first show.
Yeah, we're working the script out right now, and then once we get further into it, we'll realize it's dumb and stop.
Yeah.
Here's this lady right
oh
here.
God,
what
is
look
at Lady Ash.
Hi, I'm Nagita. We met earlier.
Oh, did we?
Yes, you signed my chainsaw.
Let me call my wife at the mission and see if that's okay.
I do have a question. You've talked about the Shatner power slide and how you did it in the first episode of Ash vs. Evil Dead, and I wondered how he does that with one hand.
How Ash does that with one hand? He has a wooden hand for his other hand.
How do you tap an emergency brake with a hand that doesn't move?
Why don't you not worry about it?
It's a fair answer.
Because I got a question for you. Where does the music come from?
That's a good question.
I didn't recall hearing an answer.
Magic.
Magic. Do you want one of these cookies? You don't have to have them. They're pretty gross. It's totally up to you. Up to you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to step on you. Yes, this guy right here.
When you're filming episodes, like, do you have an episode that was your favorite to film, had the most fun, and then also that you liked the finished product the best, that was your favorite finished episode?
Just because an episode gets finished doesn't make it good.
It's done.
There are two episodes of Ash vs. Evil Dead Season 2 I would highlight. Episode 3, there is a battle with an internal organ of a cadaver. Should be good water cooler discussion on Monday.
What was your question?
I actually just really wanted a dick cookie.
Oh, sure. Here. There you go.
Get it, girl.
Hold up the cookie.
And then we have episode 7 I would recommend that sort of Ash sort of Ash flew over the cuckoo's nest.
Thank you. What is your question, ma'am, in this row?
What was the hardest thing to film?
Of what project?
Ash versus Evil Dead.
The parts where it was after I tore my hamstring. Because then it was a lot of smoke and mirrors.
Do you want to? Okay, sure. There you go. Great. There's a stick cookie. Now I just feel bad about it. Like, I thought it'd be really hilarious. Oh, I'll give everyone dick cookies. But I never play out, like, handing someone a cookie.
You're essentially sexually harassing the audience.
Kind of, yeah. I kind of feel that way. I'm sorry. That's why it's not obligated to take it. Yes.
I was just wondering what the most fun thing to do for Burn Notice was.
Yeah, what about Burn Notice?
Burn Notice was fun not being the star of the show. Because we got to the point where we would not tell the star whether I was released from set or not. Because I would get the evil death stare from him. Yeah. Because I could show up one morning and they'd go, okay, Bruce, we're ready for you, and action. And I'd come to the end of a driveway. Look this way, look that way, look at my watch, and the van would pick me up and I'd go home for the day. So a baboon, is it a pride of baboons?
It's a pride of lions.
What is a group of baboons?
The Republican National Convention! Hey, come on, you guys! Hey! You knew it was going to happen! You knew it was going to happen! Yeah, na 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 na.
We're having a lot of fun, but we should really make America great again.
But in a group of baboons.
Lock her up! Oh, sorry.
In a group of baboons, the most pressure is on the first baboon and the last baboon. Because the first baboon has to make up the day's activities and run the show. And the little baboon is always going, come on, keep up, come on. So that's the biggest stress. The least stress in a group of baboons is number two baboon.
Because he doesn't have any pressure. He's
got jack shit. He's like, if the guy croaks, then I got to do something, but nothing right now. So it was sort of like that on Burn Notice. It was a very, it was a fun role, and it was enjoyable to work with great actresses like, you know, Sharon Gless.
Yeah.
She's just a great old school broad.
Yeah. She's rad.
Yeah, awesome. Great. So, yeah, it was a very good experience. And it's always nice to work on a show that doesn't bomb. I can't even tell you. Actors all do pilots all the time. Bomb.
How many pilots do you think you've done?
Not as many as George Clooney.
He's done a lot.
Yeah, done a lot. He's like had the record of like.
That's not even an oh moment. It's like it legitimately. No. It takes these guys a long time before, you know. Yeah, 10 years or like Matt Perry did 10 years of pilots before
He's
Friends.
He's still doing 10 years.
Still
of pilots.
Doing.
I did three pilots last year.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Three pilots. One, what you know, and actors always go, this one is it.
Never, you can never do it.
I just found the slam dunk. Cheers. This is the next Cheers, and I'm one of those guys. It was called Mission Control. Will Ferrell.
Oh, the NBC show.
Yeah, the Gary Sanchez Productions. Those guys are, you know, they're funny. And this was Mad Men at NASA.
Yep.
With jokes. It was like a half hour Mad Men. And so... It was the space race with imbeciles, kind of, and it was all run by a woman who was smarter than all of us. And, you know, all the engineers were comedians. And it just seemed, since you have zero expression on your face, that it seemed like a slam dunk at the time.
No, it's. I knew a couple people who were writing, who were going to be writing on that show,
like
and it was like
those things. And they built Mission Control. They built this beautiful.
You're like, how are they not going to pick this up?
Right? How are they not? It's Will Ferrell, slam dunk, Mission Control. See ya. Cut to tumbleweeds.
Nothing. But shows don't get picked up for a weird variety of reasons.
Absolutely, they don't have room for it. Some guy's deal expires. Some guy's having an affair with, you know, there's a lot of different reasons.
Or it's like, or they tested it and they're like, oh, this is our group that never heard of NASA. You know, it's like there are all sorts of dumb. I mean, they do. Like,
oh, yeah.
So much television gets determined because they just find people in malls in random cities.
Why do I want to watch a show about Eric Snowden?
I don't.
The NSA.
Yeah, they, right.
Be confused. Forget it.
Yeah, no, I got it.
But that show, I thought that show was going to be. I thought the show was going to go. Like, it really... And Nick... Remember, Nick Weiger left to go write on that show.
Oh, right.
And then all of a sudden, it was like, oh.
And then I did another pilot, and you'd always do these table reads. And they're sort of nerve-wracking, because all the suits are there. And all the nervous assistants around the edge of the room, who are there to laugh, no matter what. And this other pilot, no point naming it, the read just stunk. It just sat there. Normally, a good read can crackle. You guys know that. And there's energy in the room, and people laugh, and then they shut up because they want to hear the next little bit, and the actors get in a groove. And this just is one of these things that after it was over, every actor went, hey, great to see you, Bob. Hey,
oh, Bruce, well, Bruce is gone.
Did you get a call before you got to your car?
Of like keep going,
yeah. Or did they? Did you guys make the pilot?
We shot it. I'm not sure why we bothered, but we did. Yeah. So a lot of stuff goes up on the wall, and you never really know. And you know, Ash vs. Evil Dead was a weird case because three different studios made the three different original movies.
Yeah. Oh.
And you know, just legally, the nightmare behind that. Is always I'm amazed we got it done, because you got to get the snake talking to the mongoose,
yeah. Right?
From all these different companies. Why should I help you out? What's in it for me?
Right.
You know, well, if I don't get the next Guardians of the Galaxy, we got nothing to talk about, do
right.
we? So you never know what they're leveraging your project with.
Right.
Army of Darkness got caught in a dispute between Dino De Laurentiis and Universal.
Oh, that's, yeah.
Dino De Laurentiis goes, hey, Tom Pollock. He's the head of Universal. Dino owned the rights to the Hannibal Lecter thing. And Tom Pollock says that Dino promised him the sequel, and Dino says that, no, I didn't. Well, yeah, you did. Well, no, I didn't. Well, fuck you then. No, no, fuck you first. And, and they go, deliver Army of Darkness next week. And they got in this pissing war about it, and we sort of got stuck in the middle. So we got delayed for almost 2 years by the time the thing came out.
Oh, my God.
Because the two bigger cogs... You want to know a weird story?
Yeah.
Yes.
I won't belabor this, but it was a very revealing moment. I was working on American Gothic. Mm-hmm. It was a short-lived show where the devil was, you know, the lead of the show. It was kind of cool. I was talking with a Universal executive outside, and Waterworld wasn't that far away, you know, the Kevin Costner Waterworld, which was known as a bomb. I go, wow, that Waterworld, yeah. How about that Waterworld? I don't know. You're trying to strike up a conversation with an executive. They don't really know how to talk to actors, and we don't know how to talk to them. Because I'm not going to buy his suit.
Right.
He doesn't really want to know me.
Right.
So you bullshit. And, hey, how about that Waterworld? He goes, funny thing about that Waterworld. Waterworld was very useful to us. I go, what does that mean? Well... this was when Matsushita, they bought Universal for like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And they were running it. And Louis Wasserman didn't really want them involved. Now Waterworld starts shooting. Okay, how's it going? Not that good. Sets are washing away. Kevin Costner's sleeping with a stripper. There's all kinds of scandal going on. The set's washed away again. And so, you know, these guys, when they have budget meetings and you're over budget, they send Joe the Hatchet Man to come and visit.
Right.
And people get fired.
Yeah.
Hey, how about that script? No, not anymore. No, we're good with that page 9 through 12. You, Mr. Director Pants, you better snap it up, boy. And they get right at you. They do not give you any leeway. And this time, they had their budget meeting, and they go, don't worry about it. Weeks go by. Set's washed away again. Kevin's still sleeping with strippers. We don't know what to do. He's not talking with the director anymore. Don't worry about it. And that became the mantra. Don't worry about it. Because they kind of wanted to drive Matsushita insane. And they did. They went, this film business is stupid. They sold it to Seagram's.
Oh, shit.
For like $4.9 billion. What do they give a shit about a couple hundred million or 20, 30 million over here?
Yeah.
Because now they can sell the whole heap of shit to these guys. In that fiscal year, they wiped out the entire amount of debt from Waterworld. It was released in the next fiscal year and was very profitable for Universal.
Holy shit, I didn't realize that.
Little cog, big cog. Big cog, bigger cog. Gigantic cog, crushing all the other cogs underneath. So it's kind of, you know, and a lot of times you go, why did this happen? Why did that happen? It's like you say, there's many sometimes convoluted reasons that are beyond us all that don't make any sense. Yeah.
I was just texted that you. They just.
Said,
I just got a text that said
like, bye.
Well, it says it's. I just got a text. Bruce needs to wrap. It says. I guess you have to leave. But
Bruce sounds sleepy.
Bruce has to get to the Waterworld show at Universal Studios. Yeah.
But I want to ask you a question that I know a million people have asked you, but we haven't on this podcast. Briscoe County Jr. Maybe. I mean, what would be wrong with that in the world? What would be wrong with that?
Huh. You know, I enjoyed the hell out of that show. It was a lot of... Everybody wants to play a cowboy.
Yeah.
Everybody. And I got to do a year of riding around on horses and shooting guns and kissing wonderfully beautiful women while my wife was in various missions around the world. And, you know, we started really strong on Fox. But I think what happened was, like in Reno, we were killing them, but not in San Francisco or Los Angeles, the big markets.
Right.
So the secondary markets, again, big cog, little cog. You know, Reno cried a lot when we canceled that. And you know the end is near. That's always the depressing part. Bruce, we're going to send you for some promotion. Where? The world's toughest rodeo in Reno. oh, where am I going to go? To the arenas, and we'll give some stuff away? No, there's some pawn shops we need you to go to.
Holy shit.
I swear to God, some shyster in Reno went, I'll put some ads on your local world's toughest rodeo if you can get that guy in here for just an hour to sign some shit. A, I split my pants that morning. Because they want you to wear the dumb outfit.
Right.
And I put the dumb outfit on, and I was doing something, stretching them out, the whole butt gone. I'm like, well, okay, yeah, let's go to a pawn shop with a split butt. And then it gets so depressing because there's some people there, you sign their stuff, and then I had to go to the other pawn shop. Because they had double booked me at pawn shops. And one guy kept going to all the pawn shops and would put something new in front of me to make me feel like I had never met him before or something. And so when you ask the question of Briscoe, I mostly just get depressed about it. No, but, you know, it's hard to resurrect a show. Sometimes you can. I know they reissued it on DVD, and they did a great job with it, so people can still see it. It's out there. For a one-season show, a lot of the times they will vanish, but people have kept it at least alive enough that the DVD is floating around there. I would like to, but again, now you got to go 20 years later. What do you do? What do you do with Briscoe? More jumping on those horses still? Ha ha!
More blood!
Yeah! You know, there goes my other hammy. Ah! Trying to get up on the, you know.
Well, if anything else, I think it's also just to let you know that even though it may have gone one season, it's a show that people still do talk about and still miss.
I appreciate that. You know, thank you very much. It was great.
For no other reason.
And look, John Astin was in it. Jeez Louise, you know, working with these iconic guys from. I mean, I watch Adam's Family religiously. That guy was awesome. And the fact that he played Professor Wickwire. You know, there's certain guys that you work with, you go, yeah, that was a stroke of luck working with that schmo. Because the guy was great. And then they turn out to be good. They turn out to be really good people, too. So you're not, a lot of people work with their childhood hero who's an asshole. And they go, oh, my God, it's terrible.
Why did it have to be this way?
This is everything I know is wrong.
Well, Ash vs. Evil Dead will be back in October. We don't know the exact date, but just keep your eye open for October.
And get the Starz app.
Yeah, get the watch it on the Starz.
Because everyone goes, where can I get it? Right in your little hand.
Yeah, it's easy.
They've really tried to make it easy because I think studios are finally getting with a program of everybody's cutting cords. I want to watch it now. I want my Oompa Loompa now on this device and then put it on my TV here and then download it. You know, they want it all now.
Yeah.
And I think they're finally coming around to accommodate everybody's diverse needs. And I think we're finally realizing with all this binging crap, people don't watch a lot of TV. They watch an unbelievable amount of TV.
Yeah, because now you can watch it
everyone
everywhere.
Goes, have we maxed out on television? Are there too many shows? No. We now got to like 10% of what you're demanding. So it's great for schmoes like me. I'd be too old to do anything, but there's going to be lots of people out there needing shows.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for taking time out of your Comic-Con.
Thank you for having me.
Bruce Campbell. Can we take a picture with Dick Cookies?
Matt and Jonah.
Thanks, man.
Thank you so much.
That was wonderful.
Appreciate it.
Sincerely, thanks.
Thank you. Thanks.
Bruce Campbell!
God damn it, he's awesome.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's hilarious.
He's fucking great.
I have pictures from the first time he did the podcast, and he was demonstrating. He was demonstrating something about Foley art, about the art of Foley. And I have pictures of him getting up and doing footsteps on the desk we were podcasting on, just to illustrate the point. But I mean, Ash was one of the bright, shining. It came out during a break that I had last year, like one of the small breaks.
Oh, yeah.
Lydia and I watched the shit out of it. It was so fantastic. I feel like we could take a couple Quements.
Anybody cares.
Yeah, if anybody cares, we could do a couple Quements.
Sounds like the audience is really whelmed by the idea.
Well, just one person. One person, really, which is totally fine. I'll come back down.
It's...
Oh, it's...
My voice is...
question.
It's a comment.
It's a question.
It's a comment.
It's a comment.
This is the Iron and Wine version of the song.
It's a question. It's a comment. It's a question.
Nobody cares.
My best friend knows how much I adore you, and so last year she tried to find me a Chris Hardwick action figure and couldn't find anything, so she actually made one. I know. It was pretty awesome. But my question is, when are we going to see something like that, or even better, a Chris Hardwick pop figure?
You know, I don't think my ego doesn't want that. I tweeted at the Funko people, who were very cool. They sent me... Lydia saw this Dark Crystal set with the Land Strider, and so I tweeted how much I wanted one, and they were nice. They sent me one, and I tweeted out, like, hey, maybe a Chris Hardwick figure. Nothing. I'll post it on Instagram because I don't have the information right here, but a brilliant woman sent me... I don't know whose she stole, but she made a Chris Hardwick pop vinyl doll, and she hand-painted the Pac-Man suit on, like, every tiny little dot, and it was incredible. So I'll post it on Instagram, because she deserves attention. Yeah, I should tell her. I told the AMC people, like, as a joke, make a Talking Dead action figure set with the tiny little baby hands on the coffee table, and you could put... I go, as a joke, I guarantee you enough people would buy that just to be silly... that it would justify the expense. But no one listens to me, except you guys. So if you guys want it, maybe someone will listen at some point. But thank you very much. And tell your friend I said thank you for wanting such a thing. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. So you work constantly. So what are you going to do for your honeymoon? Are you actually taking time off? Or are you going to be tweeting from the Caribbean?
No, I'm gonna bring Lydia to work with me.
Just in your pocket.
We're going to go to Japan. We're going to go to Japan for 2 weeks. I've never been. She's only ever been for a day and was just working in Tokyo for a few hours. So, yeah, we're going to go and kind of just tour around. So I'm very excited about that. I'm very, very excited about it. You know, ever since I got it, being with Lydia has made me, like, what I didn't ever do before was look at the year and go, when can I take time off? So that's what I'm doing now, is just figuring out when I can do that. So... that's knowing when I had a couple weeks off made it very easy to, when I said, we should get married in August because I know I have this 2 weeks off and we can just start planning that now. And so that's, yeah.
So romantic.
Shut up. It was practical. You know, we got engaged.
Just like love, practical.
It was a very efficient way to do it. We are, because we got engaged in September of last year. So it was very easy to not have it be one of those like 3 or 5 year engagements. Because I knew, hey, next year I'll have this stretch of time off. Let's get married there. We'll take the honeymoon then. So I think it actually worked out very romantically, Jonah.
TBD.
Fuck. Not TBD. Hang on. I want to get some people in the back a little bit of a chance, too. Hello.
Oh, hi. How are you doing?
How are you?
Is there a Hall of Fame panel for At Midnight that you would love to have?
A Hall of Fame panel for At Midnight? Like people who've already been on or people who've never been on? You know, I think probably like Funches and Bill Murray and Aristotle. Why not? Do you have kind of an all-star plan?
No.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. I don't know how to get all the way. Shit. All right. Who's losing their mind over where? Over there. Yes.
Just asking for the Talking Dead. There's only like 50 people in your audience. Would you be able to like make the show bigger, like a space like this, so more of us get a chance to try and get on it just to see it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if we could get 1,200 people a week, but I have begged. The problem really is the studio size. The studio size is not big. It was Craig Ferguson's old studio, and it just wasn't that big of a space. But he had bleachers in there,
so they could accommodate more people, but he was also in there every day, and we're only in once a week, so we have to share that studio with other people. I said I thought we should have 200 or 300 people in the audience there, but they cannot physically accommodate that many people with the current setup and then have to tear that down every week and then let other productions come in. So, yeah, I said the exact same thing. Why can't we have 200 or 300 more people? And no one listens to me. That's the theme of my... Oh, I can't get through there. I'm so sorry. I want to reach you. There's no way to get to you except for rifling through these poor people who were just sitting here. I stepped on his foot, minding their business, not doing anything. I'm going to fall on this guy and then high-five him and then accidentally bonk these guys in the head and I'd hit his knee and... Team Mystic! This is rad.
Printed it at work.
You are amazing. Thank you so much. I'm moderating this panel tomorrow, so I'm gonna show John Hankey, who runs Niantic, that this is. He was talking about how great it was that people do stuff like this. Yeah, I'll give him one. Although, if he takes one, does that mean he sides with Team Mystic? He could have both, but you'd like fuck Team Instinct, right? Because you didn't make a. Are you guys all Instinct? Aw, that's adorable. What, do you have a question?
No, just presents.
Oh, well, I'm fine with that. Thank you. There's that, and there's that. Thank you very much. What is your name?
Aaliyah.
Thank you, Aaliyah. Yes?
It's long form, too, because it comes with a preamble. As someone who's listened to the podcast, it's really awesome to see you guys like progress and you get into a relationship where you actually want to get married and have kids. And Matt, you like getting ready to have kids and all that stuff. And Jonah with...
If science lets me.
Science theory, right? Well, you actually get to tell your kid they're one in a million. So that's pretty great.
But then he's going to be like, but dad, Jimmy at school, he's one in 80 million.
You get points for that. That was really awesome.
I got points last year, too. I hazed Guillermo del Toro. It was fun. But is there anything else? I mean, we know Mystery Science Theater. We know life and everything. Anything else coming up in you guys' near future that you're really, really excited about that you may have never thought you'd have a chance to do before, but... Now the future's so bright because all these new doors are opening.
What do you think, Jonah? What's coming up?
We just shot another season of The Meltdown with Jonah Kumail for Comedy Central. It was really good. And then I don't think I'm supposed to say anything, but I might just do more episodes of Hidden America on CISO. So, yeah.
Matt Myra.
I think August 1st, I wrote on this show on True TV called Fameless. It's David Spade's prank show. And the first episode of this new season has my favorite thing I've ever written, which is we convinced some poor soul that they were the last broadcasting newscaster during the alien invasion.
Oh, shit!
And she buys it hook, line, and sinker. And Trump's going to win.
I did a show called The Wall that was pretty fun. It's a big, glitzy game show that I always wanted to do, a big, glitzy network game show. So it's for NBC, and LeBron James is one of the executive producers. Yeah, which is really funny because I don't have any real questions to ask him. It's just this really amazing... where people can literally win millions of dollars. And it's a pretty... I don't know. I hope people like it. I was an incredible experience doing it. But it's a pretty straight-ahead fucking game show. Dollars! Yeah. Money points! It's kind of fun to actually give... You know, I have all these different things that I do that satisfy all these different things that I like. You know, the talking series is all about fandom. And At Midnight's all about comedy and web culture and social media. And... The Wall is about really just giving people money and changing their lives. And so, I don't know when it's going to, maybe later this year, at the beginning of next year, but it's coming, and it was a shit ton of fun to do. I took a week off last year from work. I took it during a vacation, and we shot 12 episodes. So that was really fun. Yes, I'm sorry. I was working with you.
I have to compliment you on your shoes.
Oh, thank you. Oh, yeah, yeah, the D&D. After we did Force Grey, they sent me, yeah, nice, nice.
My question is actually regarding Force Grey is how many episodes do you have planned?
I think, it might have been, was it eight?
I think we did eight, yeah.
I think, because we shot it over 2 days. So we shot, you know, like 10 hours over 2 days, and I think they were chopping it up with eight. But it was so much fucking fun, and I really do think that part of the resurgence for this type of tabletop gaming is, you know, people like Will Wheaton who make a show called Tabletop and remind people how fun tabletop games are.
Another question, what's your, because you and Will Wheaton were roommates and he shared a story of you not doing the dishes on Tabletop, basically left them on your bed and then you completely ignored them. What is one of your stories regarding Will Wheaton?
Will would get really fast. Will would get really obsessed with something, and just because he was, because he had a lot of money at the time, you know, coming off Star Trek and everything, he could buy that thing.
Chris, it's credits. That's how Star Trek works.
He had a lot of credits. So I watched Will go through so many phases, and my
it's called phasers, Chris. God,
my favorite
it's Star Trek.
Was a holodeck phase. No, he the early 90s gave rise to the rave, and that's right. And Will got super into raves and super into rave DJs, and he bought this fucking crazy turntable set, and I would hear him practice DJing. Like, I would hear him in there practicing. He had it in our apartment. What?
What was his DJ name?
I don't know if it was DJ Crusher. I always called them Double Dubs, so I don't know if he used that. But I don't know if he actually had a DJ name. But I swear to God, there was like a weekend where we're like, we're going to start putting on raves, and you'll design the flyer, and you'll book the, you know, the other DJs, and you can DJ, and then we'll just find a warehouse, and, you know, it was such a poorly conceived idea, we never did it. So, yeah, it was almost starting a rave company with Will Wheaton when he was fascinated by his DJs. Yes, well, I will get to you in a second. Hey, what's up?
Hello. As always, I like to start my question with a gift from Matt Myra.
Is,
an ink drawing of all of the 007s over the years.
It is a fucking gorgeous drawing. This is yours?
No, I picked that up at Gallifrey 1, but I...
Does it appease the Lord?
It appeases.
What is your question? And,
ask your question.
And then I got engaged to my beautiful wife, who unfortunately wasn't feeling well and had to go home after...
Why did you get engaged here? You were already married. Hey-o!
No, he got engaged here.
I did get engaged here, and you did answer the question at the first one, but I was going to ask if you got the Wrath of Khan Admiral uniform.
I did answer it at the first one. Anovos, John at Anovos, he was not happy with the stitching on the sleeve for the first version they did, so he's making sure the stitching more accurately matches Admiral Kirk's uniform before they get me one, so... next year, I hope to be here as an admiral.
Hey, Chris, is there any way to combine The Walking Dead with The Talking Dead on the same DVD?
Oh, that's not what I thought you were saying. I thought you meant.
I thought so too. I thought they were gonna stumble into your studio in Georgia.
It's really meta.
Well, I thought,
and you were still talking to a fucking camera that wasn't plugged in.
Yeah. But you.
Turns out you've been making it up all along.
Because people, you know, I got asked at the panel, at the Walking Dead panel, I said, would you ever be on the show? And I was like, well, you'd have to not recognize me because I don't want to, I always get accused of ruining Walking Dead anyway. I don't literally want to do it. But I said, the only way I would be on the show is either if I was an unrecognizable zombie, which Nicotero said, fine. I said, or I think it'd be really funny if they were all just out killing zombies and they come back to Alexandria, and then I'm in their living room, and they just sit down, and I talk to them one at a time about their day. Like, Rick, tell me about that zombie that you killed. So that would be fun.
That's pretty good, but I'm watching The Walking Dead, and you're not on after, and I'm going through withdrawals.
Oh. Well, I honestly don't know why it's not on
Yeah,
the
why
DVD.
Wouldn't they put that on the Blu-ray?
Well, it's not really available anywhere. It's not on Netflix. I don't know. And I honestly think it's probably, usually when you have a question like that, it's usually lawyers or licensing or something. But it, I would be all for it. I wish, you know, Talking Bad was available on Netflix, but in the UK. So I don't know. It's just outside my pay grade, and I don't know why some things are and some things aren't.
Do you think a lot of people binged Talking
you
Bad?
So much with your show to explain. Go fuck yourself, Jonah.
Yeah. You do so much to explain what's going on. You'll watch an episode that you haven't seen in 4 years, and you're going, what happened?
What's interesting about Talking Dead to me is that it defies the way culture works now. Everything is available somewhere, and Talking Dead, there's almost no trace of it after it airs. So I honestly don't know. I guess I kind of feel like, oh, I guess we're special. You got to watch us.
Torrent it. You'll be fine.
I don't know. So I apologize if it were up to me, but no one listens to me. Yes.
So I totally have a question. So I know you guys always do panels like, you know, like today, like Nerdist Live. It's amazing. When are you going to have a Hostful on a Sunday night? Are you guys ever going to do that?
A Hostful on a Sunday night? Like where?
Like here tomorrow night. Like, could you guys ever do that?
Oh, okay. So that's funny that you made that like a very general thing. And like, you know, anytime, like here tomorrow night.
Here now, because I love you guys, like you, Matt, Jonah. I love the chemistry. Like,
well, I do too, and you know, and
we love it too. We just can't ever find our chemistry in the same room at the same time in Los Angeles.
Yeah, like, look how close Chris has to be from us.
Yeah,
when it's just the three of us.
I love Jake and Mark.
Jake Vogelbest and Mark Maron.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like I said, you pointed it out, but these last 6 years, 6.5 years that we've been doing this, I mean, the fact that we all keep coming back to the podcast and sort of checking in, but it's been really interesting, and I sort of threw it away before talking about Jonah's evolution, and we would tease him about, like, oh, he was kind of lazy when he first started. Now he's doing all these jobs, and, you know, here we are. Like, legitimately, we did kind of grow up in a way together on the podcast. I mean, age-wise, we were all very much adults, but we really did sort of find ourselves during the podcast. And now we're, you know, you guys are both married. I'm getting married. You're, you know, hopefully about to have kids. I will at some point. And, you know.
We might get another dog. We don't know. It's a big decision. We don't want to jump into it.
I keep teasing Lydia about that. I'm like, we could get another cat. And she's like, that's not funny. I'm like, it's kind of funny. Well, she's obsessed with, she really loves the movie Jack and Jill. She really likes it. She really does. She goes, I know you think I'm crazy, but it's funny. And I go, it's not. And she goes, well, how do you know? You haven't watched it. And I go, I don't need to. And she goes, well, I really think you should watch it and find out. And so I tease her. I go, okay, Jack and Jill or kids? Pick one. Because they're both going to affect me for the rest of my life. But these guys mean the world to me, and this has been such an amazing experience, and I hope we will continue to be able to do as many Hostfuls and
that's the plan to do more.
But it got really hard to tour.
We always plan on it.
It got really hard to tour the podcast for we were doing it, but we were losing money every time because traveling the three of us, three hotel rooms, three airplane tickets, going to theaters, and then
three
people,
hotel rooms. It was two a lot of times.
Or two hotel rooms.
A lot of times.
Yeah,
we got to know each other real
well.
But what would happen is we'd go on the road, and you know we can't get a guest to go to Iowa with us without paying a lot of money. So people would show up, but then there'd be a lot of people who'd go, well, who's the guest? And we'd go, well, it's just us. And people would be like, oh, okay. You know, we always kind of felt hurt by that. We're like, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry we're not enough to bring you out. Yeah. So it really kind of became more of the financials of it. It's very expensive to tour, and these venue sizes are very expensive to even just turn the lights on. And so,
luckily, you're here for this other thing that's happening this weekend. I don't
know.
Yeah, so that's ultimately... Hey, thank you. So we won't.
Thanks
be able to
everybody
Hostful.
For listening to the podcast and coming and seeing us and being really awesome. Like, it's this podcast changed my life.
You get a dick cookie.
And then Chris is passing out dick cookies while I try to be sincere.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Moment.
Go ahead. This podcast changed your life.
You get a dick cookie.
Yeah,
boy.
What were you about to say?
I was just saying. I appreciate everybody. I was just. Now it feels fake saying
it's not forced.
Fuck you, you pieces of shit.
There's the old Jonah.
There he is.
What have you picked up the last 6.5 years, Matt?
A wife. IVF bills. A 65 Fender Stratocaster.
Oh, yeah, I saw you carrying that. I'm in there. What's that? I traded 10 guitars for this.
Seven. It was 7 guitars. It was a good trade, guys. I'm going to pass it on to my dumb kid. I assume he's going to be dumb. Oh, wow, it's like a Hirschfeld. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Thank you for my yearly gift, sir. It doth pleases.
Sire, should I gold plate the frame for you?
I think we plate this in blood.
Delightful.
What do you guys have to do tomorrow? Anything?
I'm driving back tonight.
Nice. Jonah?
I was going to go walk the floor. I really haven't had a chance to do that yet.
Oh, Joe, yeah. I'm going to walk the floor.
So many years of people thinking you're the nice one.
That was funny when the first times we started touring, because their dynamic in the beginning was Jonah would just haze Matt and be like, shut up, you piece of shit. And so the two things happened when we would go on the road. People thought Jonah was a complete dick. So they would say things like, you're a fucking dick, man. He'd be like, what are you talking about? Or they would insult you thinking that's how you normally communicate.
Yeah, that's how I joke around with my friends. Yeah, I still get a panic attack sometimes when I'm meeting people after a Nerdist show, because I just remember the girl that said, you suck. And I go, but why? She's like, you're really mean to Matt. And I was but we're friends.
No, nope. Just don't be mean, all right?
Yeah, all right. Thanks, God, buddy.
Fucking asshole.
Well, I hope you all have a wonderful rest of your Comic-Con. I know that there are a lot of things that you can do, and we appreciate it every year when you guys come out and spend this time with us. And, you know, we'll keep coming back as long as you guys keep coming out. So thank you so much for coming out to the Nerdist Podcast Live.
Thanks so much.
San Diego Comic-Con 2016.
Enjoy
your burrito. Good night, San Diego.
In the back.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
This episode of the Nerdist Podcast is brought to you by Dollar Shave Club. You don't need to choose between price and quality to get an amazing and affordable shave. DollarShaveClub.com's the answer. To prove how amazing their shave really is, get your first month free when you join the club. Go to DollarShaveClub.com/Nerdist. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Nerdist.